From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Hi, Nigel. Today we will be talking about learning culture, and the reason we're talking about learning culture is because we've just come off the LPI's CLO Connect monthly webinar on that very same topic. So we thought we would sort of step back and have a little bit of a reflection on those discussions and what we think about learning culture. So I am going to absolve myself of having to reflect, and I'm going to pass the bat on to you immediately. So what were your thoughts?
Lots of thoughts. One is that I'm reflecting very well the conclusions and the ideas that came from the group. So I will not take full credit, although everything in me is saying, yes, just grab full credit. But it was a big discussion, which you were a big part of as well, Martin. I think that there are three really important points. The first one is that learning culture is way more complex than some pundits pretend. You know, we get this view that here are five bullet points, learning culture, done. And it's not like that at all. And you cannot extract learning culture from the broader culture of the organization. And there are some things that if you're in learning, you can do to facilitate and move forward in this area. But there are some things you require the whole organization to come behind you. So if you think that as a learning leader, learning culture, my responsibility, I'll deliver on that, you won't. You absolutely won't. And you need to understand the bigger picture. And we picked up on a number of thought leaders in culture generally. And the one that we dwelt upon was the work of Cameron and Quinn, their idea of the competing values framework. And that's a very interesting idea. And basically it's saying that culture is dynamic, and that all of the time organizations are churning insight and changing and evolving, and there is competing effort and competing ideology and competing headspace for bits and pieces of a culture, including a learning culture. So a learning culture isn't one and then that's it. A learning culture has to be fought for initially and then continuously fought for. And you've got to kind of work against the challenges all the time, work against the challenges. But having said that, let's get to some practical stuff. I think there were four practical outcomes that we agreed as a group. That if you're a learning operation and you think that your job is to control learning and therefore control the culture, you've already defeated yourself. You're already finished. That building a learning culture is about the learning operation being a trusted partner for the organization. It's about being an encourager and a facilitator of other people's learning and other people's learning processes, of being a provider of resources, which may be a portal or a database or some facility for enabling the sharing of knowledge, the regular and continuous churning of insight and sharing of knowledge. And finally, being supportive across the whole organization to the way the organization wants to do its thing in terms of knowledge development and knowledge sharing. Not saying this is the way you do it, but saying let's work together. So they were the four kind of the core messages I thought came out. And I thought they were very interesting and very useful.
Yeah. I also thought the focus seems to be around being far more proactive and positive. Sounds a bit naff, but you know, if you want something really positive to happen within an organization, one has to be demonstrating some of these behaviors. So I likened this to my experience of studying cultural studies and culture outside of organizations, but our general society and culture within that, and this idea of the social factors at play and the political factors at play. And I was just pointing out the fact that I think there needs to be an ability for sharing information and knowledge to be at the base of a really good learning culture. Out in society, there are people know certain things, are allowed to know certain things. These are the political forces, and that happens in organisations too. And I think it's beginning to break that down and get to this level where people can share stuff and they can say what they need and say what they're thinking, and then, you know, that curiosity and a big, you know, that kind of grows. And I think that was a couple of the people on the call were really saying that, weren't they? It was actually the role of L&D is looking far more like the one that you've just outlined in those four practical points. It's actually, it's about enabling people. It's about management and leadership supporting and enabling. And then it's allowing people to share information and apply information, you know, and just get on with their job in that way.
Yeah, I completely agree. And also the point that was made that I started with looking at Julian Stodd's blog on learning culture, the idea that you can't do it to people. It's got to be a joint process. So that they have to be willing to share and be willing to share. And you have to ask them how you can enable that process and work with people rather than do it to them. I thought that was very important. And I kind of like my last metaphor of the virus, that the learning organization is the virus that begins to injects and then hopefully infects the whole organization. But that takes time. I thought you thought that was rather gruesome as a metaphor, but I still quite like that. You know, you can have good viruses as well as bad viruses. And it is a slow process. And the role of the learning operation is to see itself as being the enabler, not the controller. That's the kind of, that's really the bottom line, I think.
Brilliant. Our time is up. So, Nigel, thank you very much for those insights.
Always good to talk, Martin. Thank you. From scratch.